I'm going to ask the rest of you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. And we're going to continue in our series in the book of Exodus. We're right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments to the Hebrews at the side of the mountain there have to do with their relationship with God, their vertical relationship with God. Now, we know from Scripture that God gave Moses two stone tablets before he came down on the mountain. We're not really sure the makeup of those tablets. Some theologians say it was two copies of the same thing. All the words of the law were on both tablets, and Moses brought down two tablets. Some believe that perhaps on one tablet were the first four commandments. The vertical relationship with God, the people's relationship with God, were contained on the first set of tablets, the first stone tablet. And the last six were on the second tablet, our horizontal relationship, our relationship with each other. And so the first tablet, according to some, would be love the Lord your God. And the second tablet, the last six, would be love your neighbor as yourself. We're not really sure. But as we study the Ten Commandments, we know they are broken up that way. The first four have to do with our relationship with God. The last six have to do with our relationship with each other. Remember when Jesus was approached by the Pharisees and a lawyer came to them? Let me read it to you, Matthew 22. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. That would summarize very succinctly the first four commandments, the first tablet of the law. But he doesn't stop there. And Jesus said, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So whether or not what was on each one of the tablets, we don't know, but we do know that they lay out that way. First four, second six. The last six, starting with the fifth commandment, has to do with our relationship with others, loving one another, loving you, my neighbor, as I love myself. Jesus gave a new commandment. He says you should love one another, not as you love yourself, but as I have what? Loved you. So the fifth commandment is five. We sort of do it in a, like a salute. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. So let's read all the first five commandments in the text. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to start with verse 1, and we're going to go all the way to verse 12. Would you stand with me once again in honor of God's word, if you can? And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is God's word. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray again. Let's ask God, the author of these words, to enable us to understand them. Precious Heavenly Father, these are your words spoken for the first time to the people of God as they stood there at the base of the mountain and they saw the mountain shake and tremble and saw you speak out of the fire. Actually, these words are the first words written down in Scripture, and they were written down by you with your finger. Lord, these words are life. They were life for the people of Israel, Lord. And the principles repeated in the New Testament, Lord, they are life for us again today. Lord, by your Holy Spirit that lives in each and every one of us who have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, we pray that he will enable us to understand. He will teach us things that we do not know. And then he will help us to apply so that we become more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. These things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First word in the 12th verse is honor. That's the Hebrew word kabod. We made reference to this Hebrew word or a variation of it when we unpacked the third commandment. We spoke about the weightiness, the heaviness, the glory, the splendor of God's name, the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah. God, we learn, takes his name very, very seriously. And we should not treat it lightly. His name, we learned, is synonymous with his glory. God shares his glory with absolutely no one. Well, this word honor here at the beginning of the fifth commandment in verse 12 carries the same meaning. It means to respect. It means to give weight. It means to set apart. It means to be treated with honor or a name that is distinguished from all others. Now, Moses and the people of Israel were at Mount Sinai for almost a year. And God unpacked for them during the course of the year. They sort of like gave flesh to the skeleton that we have here in the 10 words, the 10 commandments. And so he adds to that, not to take away from it at all, but just to give it deeper meaning. And in Leviticus 19, verse 3, this is what Moses tells the people while they're still there at Mount Sinai. Not when he first came down and gave the Ten Commandments, but at a later point, he tells them this. Every one of you shall revere his mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. So honor has the idea of revering, giving reverence, paying respect, showing esteem. God is speaking to his people on the side of the mountain. He's speaking to all of his people. Some believe that perhaps there were 2 million people there at the base of the mountain listening to God's voice bellow out of the fire. He's speaking to all of them. This isn't like children's church. You know, this isn't something perhaps a little lighter down at their level so they can understand the truths of God's word. He's speaking to everybody. He's speaking to old people. He's speaking to young people. What God is saying here in the fifth commandment about honoring your parents is for all the nation of Israel. Now, already he had told them in the first commandment, you honor me by making me the sole object of your worship. And in the second commandment, he says, you honor me by not making images of me, by worshiping me the way I dictate. And in the third commandment, he says, you honor me by not taking my name in vain. And in the fourth commandment, he had said, you honor me by remembering my Sabbath. And in the fifth commandment, he says, I want you to honor me by honoring my image bearers among me, which are your father and your mother. Already in the chapter, we see God not only referred to as Yahweh, the Lord, but we see him referred to as Elohim, the Hebrew word. Elohim is used as God as creator. The God who made the world, the heavens, the earth, the stars, the moon, and all the fish and the birds, and even the whales. I know they're not a fish. The God who made the world also made man and woman. He made husband and wife. And he made them, according to Genesis, in his what? Image. And he gave them instructions to be fruitful and to what? Multiply. God wanted man and woman, husband and wife, to bear his image and to multiply. So they're supposed to mirror his image in the world, and they're supposed to multiply his image in the world. Now, how is it that a husband and a wife can multiply image bearers in the world? By becoming mothers and what? Fathers. As God's children there on the side of the mountain, as God's covenant children, they are to honor, they are to confer weightiness, they are to give reference to God by honoring God's image bearers, dad and mom. And it's not just, this isn't a command just for little children. We honor our parents, every one of us, or they honor their parents there at the base of the mountain, when we acknowledge that our parent or their parents had been ordained of God to be our parents, and therefore they are worthy of our honor. Honoring our parents can only be done as one recognizes that God has appointed them to be parents. And thus they are honored for their God-given position as parents, because God instituted it. They are not necessarily honored for based upon their performance. That's very, very important. We honor God, we honor parents for their God-given position as a parent, not for their performance as a parent. Honor is given to parents as directed by God. Honor in the fifth commandment is not something that has to be earned by the parent. Honor is for their position designed and designated as such by God. And so what is God saying to his people who are standing there at the base of the mountain? He's saying, little children who are listening to my voice now, at the base of the mountain, honor your daddy and mommy. But he's also saying it to the preteens. He says, honor your dad and your mom. And he's saying it to the teenagers. Honor your mother and your father. He's saying it to college students. They didn't have college. The college-age students. Honor your father and your mother. He's saying it to young adults. Honor your father and your mother. He's saying it to middle-aged adults. Honor your father and your mother. He's saying it to mature adults. Honor your father and your mother. And we have a few senior citizens here. And he's saying it to them at the base of the mountain. Honor your father and your mother. Notice that as God speaks to his people, he makes no qualifications. No exceptions. It doesn't matter if your parents were good or bad. Doesn't matter if they're living or dead. He says, as offspring of your parents here on the side of the mountain, you give honor, you esteem, you show respect to your parents. And at the base of the mountain, as they gather in family groups, they're looking at each other. Why? Why should they honor their mother and father? Well, we've seen a little bit in the creation mandate. They are God ordained them to be your parents. It's not an accident. Why? Because honoring your father and mother is a condition of the covenant that God is establishing with his people. He says to the people there at the base of the mountain, if you obey my voice, remember that in chapter 19, if you keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession. You will be a kingdom of priests, and you will be a holy nation. As we find out later, as they're standing there, or as they camp there at the Sinai for about a year, parents are instructed to teach their children the covenant, the conditions of the covenant. And children, all children, whether you're young or old, need to heed to the conditions of the covenant. That's the way it was going to be passed down from generation to generation. It was through the family unit. Honoring your father and mother is a condition of the covenant. God says this is a conditional covenant to his people Israel. If you do not keep your part of the covenant, if you do not honor your father and your mother, there will be severe consequences. Now, we can understand that, can't we, in the first four, the first tablet perhaps, you know, okay, we want to make sure we honor God. Worship him alone. We don't make any idols of him. We don't take his name in vain. We remember the Sabbath day. That's true of our vertical relationship with God. And there will be consequences if we don't keep that vertical relation with God. After all, he's holy. But what about our relationship with others? We're on equal ground. God wants us to see that the second table, the last six commandments are as equally important to God as the first. Look what Moses reminds the younger generation of Hebrews. Perhaps they weren't even there at the base of the mountain when God first uttered these words. These are the younger children who survived the wilderness journey. But God reminds them of what Moses had told their parents. And what had God told their parents many years earlier? Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let me read it to you. If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sickness grievous and lasting. If you don't obey, these are the things that are going to happen to you. And he will bring upon you again all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also and every affliction that is not recorded in this book of the law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Whereas you were as numerous as the stars of the heaven, you shall be left few in number because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And not just in terms of the first four, but also the second six. Verse 63. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you. And you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers had known. And among these nations you shall find no rest. And there shall be no resting place for the sole of your feet. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, if only it were evening. And at evening you shall say, if only it were morning. Because of the dread that your heart shall feel and the sights that your eyes shall see. The second six commandments, the second table of the law, so to speak, is not law light. You know, we have light everything now. We have popcorn light, everything's light. That's not the case of the second law, second table of law, starting with the fifth commandment. It is serious to God that the people of God obey the commandments of God as they sit there or stand there at the base of the mountain. Just one chapter later, as Moses is still up on the side of the mountain, this is what God says to Moses. Exodus chapter 21, verse 15. Whoever strikes his father or mother shall be what? Does anybody know? Shall be put to death. Honoring your parents, no matter what age you are, is important to God. That's what He wants His people to know. Exodus chapter 21, verse 17. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be, anybody, put to what? Death. God wants His people to know there on the side of the mountain that honoring their parents because they've been given to them by God as God's image bearers is very, very important. And it's worthy of disobedience is worthy of what? Death. Certainly striking and cursing your mother and your father, regardless of your age, is very serious to God. Look at an example of a particular man, a young man, not an older man, but look what Moses tells the people as an example. If a man, this is in Deuteronomy 21, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. A sign of honor or dishonor? Dishonor. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. So his lifestyle doesn't honor his parents either. So what do you do? Or what did the people of God do? Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So shall you purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Honoring your parents is very, very serious to God and His people there at the base of the mountain. Their days, according to the law, would be cut short if they dishonored their mother and father. Cut short. That's a euphemism for what? They would die. Deuteronomy chapter 5, when Moses repeats the Ten Commandments there to the younger generation, he says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. At the base of the mountain, they are not yet in the land that God had promised them, the land flowing with milk and honey. But one of the conditions for them living in the land for a long time, the nation, is honoring your father and your mother. Of course, all the other commandments come into play too, but specifically today we're just talking about honoring their parents. It will not go well with you if you dishonor your mother and your father. But if, as a nation, they respected and honored their parents and held them in high esteem, and if they kept their part, God would keep His part, and they would live a long time in the land. The land would be fruitful. All of their needs would be provided for, because this is a conditional covenant. But the people of Israel were not able to keep the law. And so, because they did not keep the law, God also kept His word. And God disciplined them. He doomed them because of their failure to keep the commands. Turn with me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel 22. Let me read to you verse 15. The prophet Ezekiel prophesying against the nation because of their disobedience, because they are not fulfilling their obligations of the covenant set with the people at Mount Sinai. He says in verse 15, I will scatter you, the people, the nation Israel, I will scatter you among the nations and disperse you through the countries. And I will consume your uncleanness out of you. So because they have failed to abide by the conditions of the covenant, God is going to scatter them and He's going to consume the uncleanness out of them. So what is the uncleanness that God is going to consume out of there? What is the uncleanness that Ezekiel is referring to? Well, in verse 4, he says, if you are defiled by idols that you have made, I will consume the uncleanness out of you. What command is violated when they make idols? Number what? 2. In verse 8, the nation of Israel has profaned his Sabbath. He will consume the uncleanness of them violating the 4th commandment. In verse 4, their uncleanness is defined as murder, guilty of the blood. They are murdering. What command is that? We haven't gotten there yet, remember? Does anybody know? Bang. 6, thou shalt not murder. In verse 11 of Ezekiel chapter 15, one commits abomination with his neighbor's wife. What command is that? 7, adultery. Verse number 12, you make gain of your neighbor by extortion. Commands number 8 and 10, stealing and coveting. Included in all these violations by the people of God that Ezekiel says that they are doing is verse 7 of Ezekiel chapter 15. Reasons whereby God does not allow them to live long in the land and He scatters them among the nations is in verse 7. Father and mother are treated with contempt. The people of God, even in the time of Ezekiel, are not treating their mother and father with honor. They did not respond to the authority that God had placed over them and established for them in the first 4 commandments. They did not worship Him alone. They did not cut out all idols. They did not keep the Sabbath. And they refused to take the name of the Lord seriously. And because they would not respond to His authority demonstrated in the 4th commandment, they are also incapable of keeping or responding to his authority as is outlined in the second six commandments. And the first one of those, the second table, is them honoring their mother and father. God said, if you obey my commandments, I will guarantee that you as a nation will live long in the land flowing with milk and honey. But because of their disobedience, God disciplines them and sends them into captivity for 70 years. Honor your father and your mother. You didn't do it? You will feel the weight of my judgment against you, my discipline against you. God disciplines his children because of their disobedience and not honoring their father and their mother. Come on, what's the big deal? It's a big deal to God. Honor your father and your mother. But God graciously, doesn't he? God is full of grace. He's loving, kindness, endures forever. And he graciously and mercifully allows them to go back into the land. Kyle's dog, Cyrus the Great, right? Issues an edict, and they are allowed, anybody that wants to, go back to Israel. And by the time that Jesus comes onto the scene, we see that the people, the religious rulers, still disregard this, the fifth commandment. They are still not treating their mother and father with honor. And the passage that Kyle read to us at the beginning of the service is evidence of that. The Pharisees, the religious rulers, the one who taught the people the law, they said this. The command says, honor your father and your mother. But they said, you know what? There's this thing called Corban. K-O-R-B-A-N. That if I reserve something for the Lord, I don't have to use it for any other purposes. Cough, cough. Because they would use it for their own purposes. But if mom and dad come to them and say, you know what, honey, we're struggling right now. We could use your help financially. And the Pharisees would say, you know what, mom and dad, I'd really like to obey the commandment of God. I'd really like to honor you, but this money that I have has been reserved for the Lord, and so I can't give it to you. And Jesus says, what hypocrites! You're using your tradition of this thing called Corban to violate God's law. You have put your tradition above God's law, and he calls them, you hypocrites. You honor me with your lips. You say all the right things, but your hearts are far, far from me. Jesus saw right through their hearts of dishonor. And they dishonored their parents because, first of all, they were dishonoring whom? The Son of God, Jesus. They were dishonoring God. What does it look like? What did it look like? What does it look like for us? The fifth commandment. Jesus gives us a clue in his response to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15. Honoring our parents is a consequence of us honoring God. Our hearts, the heart of a man or a woman who loves God, will honor his mother and father. Paul repeats this command to honor your parents in Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read it to you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live a long life in the land. Now, I preached a sermon on this not too long ago when we were going through the book of Ephesians. We're not going to get too much into it this morning. I would encourage you to listen to the sermon series on Ephesians chapter 6 on both the parents' responsibility and the children's responsibility. But I want to make this clear here this morning. This law was originally given to the people at the base of Mount Sinai. It was the old covenant, conditional covenant. If you obey me, I will bless you. And if you disobey me, I will curse you. I'll bring curses on your land. Well, we no longer live under the old covenant. We are under the new covenant. The new covenant of the blood of the crucified and resurrected Lamb. But that does not mean we do not have obligations to our parents, to our father and mother. Our obligation to our parents is no longer a requirement for us to keep God's blessings in our lives. But it is a response to the blessings that God has already provided for us in Christ Jesus. Jesus, our supreme example and sacrifice, he kept the law perfectly. Jesus honored his mother and father, his earthly father and mother, he honored. Even when they weren't perfect. Now, Jesus was perfect, wasn't he? But his mother and father, earthly mother and father, were not. But God honored, Jesus honored his parents always, at all times, in all situations. He kept this fifth commandment perfectly. And because he not only kept this commandment perfectly, he kept all the commandments perfectly, he alone could pay the price for our disobedience to the law of God. Jesus, in his death, burial, and resurrection, nailed our debt to the cross. And when he did that, for all those who believe in him, who have faith in his name, and faith in his finished work, he forgives us completely. He forgives you for all the many, many times that you have dishonored your mother and your father. Forgives me for all the many, many times I have dishonored my mother and my father. And he has given me not only forgiveness, the Bible instructs us that he has given us his righteousness. That means God, when he looks at me, he looks at me as a perfect law keeper. He looks at me as one who treats his mother and father with honor. That is what God does for us in Christ Jesus. But not only did God, or Jesus, honor his earthly mother and father perfectly, he also honored his what? Heavenly Father perfectly, didn't he? Remember there in the garden, he says, not my will, but what? Thine be done. So although we don't keep the law in the same sense that the Old Testament kept the law to maintain the blessings of God, but we do it in response to the blessings of God, the forgiveness of sins, our imputed righteousness, what God has done for us, given us eternal life, we honor our parents. It does look like something in our reality. It's not going to look like taking our kid out and stoning him. It's not going to look like killing him. But us honoring our parents does look like something in the 21st century. For young children who are here, you know what honoring your dad and mom looks like? It looks like obeying them. That's what Paul says. He says, obey your father and your mother. And it means obeying them immediately. It doesn't mean, oh yeah, I'll do it when I get around to it, you know. It means obeying them immediately, consistently. Now, I said this in our message. I said, now, if your dad or your mom, and I know this isn't the case here, but if somebody's listening to this, your dad and your mom ask you to do something that you know God wouldn't want you to do, then you need to go talk to somebody who loves God. You know, pastor, or maybe your grandma or your grandpa. But in all of the cases, you need to obey your dad and your mom. That's what it looks like for young little children. For preteens, you know what it looks like? We have some here this morning. It also means obeying them. But it also means listening to them without rolling your eyes. That's what honoring means. Rolling your eyes. or muttering under your breath, or slamming a door, doing it lovingly, doing it with respect, whatever they ask you to do. For teenagers, it means giving more weight to their counsel than the advice of your friends. Your parents' instructions are more important than anything your friends could ever tell you. Oh, my parents are old. They don't know everything. They didn't even know what Facebook is. Who cares? They are God's instruments in your life at this time, and you have a job to honor them. As young adults, as you leave home, as you're graduating from college, it also means listening to them with respect. It means to speak to them in a way that gives them honor. Sometimes young adults sometimes think they're at the same level as a parent. They can talk to them like they talk to anybody else. Honoring your parents, giving them esteem, giving them weightiness, is to speak to them respectfully. It means spending time with them. That's what honoring looks like. I got other things to do. You know, more important things. No, honoring your mom and dad means to spend time with them. It means to thank them. It means to actually forgive them when they've done something wrong. It means not holding a grudge against your parents for a long, long time. And as you grow older, it means taking care of them. They took care of you. Taking care of them. Now, we have several families in our church who take care of their parents, and they take care of their parents wonderfully. That's a testimony to the world that we value our mother and father because of their position, because who they are, because where God has placed them in our lives. Perhaps your mother and father are dead. They passed away, and I know a lot of ours have, both of mine have. Can I honor my parents even though they've died? Yes or no? Yeah. By not speaking poorly of them to other people? Right? By remembering their position as our parents? Guard your conversations around your parents even if they're dead. Now, honoring your parents, we could go on forever here. It does not mean that you enable them in their sinful behavior. It does not mean that we put ourselves or anybody else we know in danger if we're going to be with parents who have abused us or mistreated us physically. It does not mean we always have to agree with our parents. But it means that we need to honor and respect them for their position, not for their performance, because God has mandated it. If you struggle because you believe that your mother and father are not worthy of honor because of all the pain that they have inflicted on you for years and years and years, remember that God has required you to honor them because of their God-given position as a parent. You do not need to honor them for their performance, but because they are your mom and dad. When we honor our parents, we acknowledge that we have been ordained, that they have been ordained of God to be our parents and to receive our honor. Honoring parents who are not worthy of honor can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we begin to realize more and more God's commands. This might generate a lot of questions in some people's hearts and minds. Be assured that I'm around. If you have questions that you need to be asked and answered, I would love to take the time to do that. Honor your father and your mother. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us, the parents that you gave us. And perfect as they were, in my case, and as they are, and many here this morning. Lord, we honor you when we honor them. May your indwelling spirit take these words and apply them to the realities of our lives, so that you are glorified, so that others will understand the weightiness of who you are and what you reveal to us in your word. This I pray in Christ's name. Amen.